got a fanny pack name right there.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure and honor today. You are now tuned into You Heard Radio, where life moves from the verb of your words. That is the actions of your words. You can only move by what you do, not just by what you say. So with that, today is a pleasure and honor to be here with my dad, and I have my uncle in the building. We're in the Yuma airport, and it is I, your host, soon coming, Amadi. So how you doing, Papa?
Yeah, very good, Amadi. How are you?
Good, good. If you don't mind, let the people know your name. I call you Papa, you know, out of respect, but for the people, I know you're a dad to many, but what's your name for the people?
Alion Ingham. Like chewing gum.
Ingham.
Let me try this again. My name's Amadi Ingham, like the chewing gum. You heard?
Just like the chewing gum.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you recognize that sound we got in the background?
Oh, yeah, of course. This is the way you soon do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you had that album. I can't think of where my favorite song was, but I need to go back to the album. You might have to send it to me, but yeah. Didn't we go to one of his shows in Pasadena?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, a few years back, maybe 8-9 years ago.
I remember that. You know, I wear the djembe on my neck, and people go, "Dang!" But I remember that part where you go up there and dance and just move to the rhythm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The drum always get you moving.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to start here. A lot of people are wondering, why is this episode so deep already? We didn't even say anything, you know? We haven't even said anything. But it's the voice, you know? Yeah. The voice is deep. So I know I got that from you because people go, dang. So I want to go, what was your experience like having a deep voice as a kid, you know? Because I'll tell you one with me. I remember calling my friend's house when I was 14, and I said, hello? Is Brittany there? And then, hold on 1 second.
Is Brittany there? Yeah.
Brittany, why is there a grown ass man calling the house, and we're in middle school, you know? Yeah. And I was like, no, I hear in the background, Dad, he's 14. We're in the same grade, isn't, you know? Like when you found out the name, someone named Marty. So I just thought it was funny. Like, man, this guy thinks a grown man's calling as just a kid, you know? So do you have any funny stories or something where your voice being deep when you're younger, or in just certain situations where people reacted like, whoa, that's coming out of you?
Yeah, well, I think when I was in middle school, just like you, all of a sudden my voice just exploded, you know? And talking normal, and people, we always react. Like when I get in a room and I say bonjour, everybody turn their head.
Yeah.
Because they imagine somebody very big and very tall.
Yeah.
Talking. And they look, oh wow, it's coming from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I have always, you know, enjoy you know, talking to people and bringing story that can encourage them, because the voice is what connect people all over the world.
Right. Yeah.
Your voice even if we don't speak the same language,
mm-hmm.
but
tone,
the tone or something you saying
mm-hmm.
can heal somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I have always enjoyed that part, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hold on, Uncle Frank. I want the viewers to, yeah, this is my Uncle Frank here. One moment.
Hello, hello. So you were also enjoying the voice of Barry White.
Yeah.
Barry White used to be your favorite guy.
I used to listen to all his music, his CDs, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So someone must have said, you kind of got that Barry White, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other day, someone told me my job, like, they said, you sound like the guy that goes, "Wild Thing." Dun, 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 dun. I can't remember that song, but like, "Wild Thing."
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because you know what I'm talking about? From the 80s or something. I'll have to play. I'll put a little snippet or something.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, I like what you said. Like, I think this is a really good, like, bringing people into ways of healing, you know? We're in a time where we're in the pandemic era, and a lot of people are finding ways to heal, and more ways outside of medicine. You know, a lot of people don't want to rely on pills or get, you know, addicted to certain things. So naturopathic healing methods, you know, and like you're saying, there's the voice, there's stones that you can have that carry certain virtues that strengthen you throughout the day or protect you from certain things, whether that be demons, you know, or just energies. Like, I have a coworker that used to get the different stones from, like, the turquoise ring you have, and I would ask him every day, so which ones you have in your pocket, you know. Shout out Drew Mejia, I know you're tapping in. And he would tell me which stones he had for the day, what he was maybe feeling weak in this morning. This one's for my confidence, this one's to repel any negative energy throughout the day, because I already know there's a coworker here that I don't want to deal with, you know. And then I brought my other stone, that's to keep my morale up. So when you're saying the voice is healing, what are some ways, you know, that you found healing through the voice, you know, or you've told people or your own experience, you know?
Well, you know, human being connection does that. Sometimes you may feel good,
mm-hmm.
but if you hear from somebody else outside of you, that come and tell you, oh, you're doing good, you're healing,
mm-hmm.
everything is coming together.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of reassure what you was feeling. So those two voices go together.
Yeah.
The voice that you got inside you,
mm-hmm.
hear the voice coming out of me, and they kind of harmonize.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what get people to heal.
I won't lie to you. It made me think about fusion. I was like, fusion, huh? What is this power? Do y'all hear me? I'm Big Lit. We're one. Let that boy live.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what's important about having role model figures around, you know, in your life, from, you know, in all assets, like the village, you know, whether it's the guy in front of the store that always goes, hey, you still in school doing your thing? It could be someone that you didn't know was big in your life, but they always going, hey man. And it's the guy at the park at the bench all the time, but you go back and go, man, every day you used to say good morning to me, and you know, that gave me power, you know. So like, that's why, you know, some people you know, some people don't have kids, but they're a role model to the kids, you know, that even if their dad's not around, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like, they're raised by the people around them. So I always tell people, it's like, it's important to, like, you know, pass that on. And I have to say, you know, I've always felt very supported by you, you know, like throughout my experience, you know, through school, you've come and talked to my friends, and you know, you come with your pride. And, you know, I walk around prideful. And but your voice, I have to go back to that. You know, you are able to spank me with your voice, you know. Because I remember when I was younger, you know, you never really spanked me. I only got maybe spanked one time by you. But every time you could put your voice in a certain tone, and I felt like I got spanked, you know. I'll cry before, you know, when I'm talking about elementary school. And then even when you're telling me, you know, even when talking to other people, you don't always have to use your hands or something. Like, you don't need to get a weapon. You can use your voice to defend yourself.
This is your last warning.
So stop. Hey, you know, the power behind it, you know. And I really believe heavy in those things, you know what I'm saying? So I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Because I always tell people, I remember when I was going to the African Academy and you came for my birthday and brought the cake, got the Jeff Gordon NASCAR cake. And then, well, I was probably third grade. It was either second or third. I know it was there. And then I remember when you picked me up at recess, you did the way you used to pick me up. Maybe it's called like the rocket ship or something. And then all the kids wanted to get picked up. And I was like, yo, that's my thing. And you're like, I'm everyone's dad, you know, like, but that's cool. Because when I think back, I'm like, a lot of people's dad wasn't popping up to school or doing certain, some of those little bonus things that, you know, you could take for granted. So it's cool to like think back and go, yeah, that's part of my life, you know? Yeah. So, you know, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I want to know, perfect. Let's talk about New York, because I tell people I'm born in New York, the Bronx, you know? And then it's funny because people ask, where are you from? And when you get that question, you sometimes get confused, right? Hey, where are you from? Do you go, do I tell them where I first came to America? Do I tell them where I was born at? Do I tell them where I was raised most of my life? You know, you go. So what do you say to that when someone goes, hey, man, where are you from? I hear something in your voice.
Well, I ask them, what do you want to know? You want to know where I'm from? Here? Or do you want to know where I'm from in America? Or where I'm from in the world.
Put your hood up! Put your hood up! Put your click up! Put your click up! Put your click up! Put your click up! Represent your shit, motherfucker! Represent your shit, motherfucker!
Yeah, so then I go, the world. And then you go, what?
I say, I'm from Côte d'Ivoire. And they go, what is Côte d'Ivoire?
What is that?
And I say, this is Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast, what is that?
Yeah.
That's in West Africa. Oh, Africa, Africa? Yeah.
Africa, Africa. Wakanda?
So we laugh a little bit and, I explain. I give them a little geography. Okay, Africa is a big continent. Mm-hmm. Africa is a continent. It's not a country, it's a continent.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of country, mm-hmm. Different tribe, different way to do things between the west, the east, the north, the mm-hmm. south, etc.
Yeah.
Even in Ivory Coast alone is 72 different ethnic in a country.
Okay, and just Ivory Coast. We're not even talking
just
about
Africa.
The whole continent. Ivory Coast is a small part.
Yeah. So.
How, for the listeners, how big would you say Ivory Coast is if you're comparing it to maybe any of the states? Like Texas big, the whole country? Or would you say a few states like the size of Texas or California or, you know, or New York maybe?
I don't know. I'm just going to give you area,
yeah,
is in French.
Okay,
is 322,000 kilometers square.
Okay. So for those who don't know that in American, just ask Siri or Alexa, your phone, translate
322,000
kilometers
square.
Square into what is it? What do we look at, miles, right?
We're in a mile system.
Yeah, mile system. We're the only one. Yeah. Okay. And then, Ivory Coast. What's the connection with ivory? Is elephants big? Is that a high form of respect there? Was there a lot of elephants hunted there? Like, why is it the Ivory Coast? Was there a lot of trade of ivory from there? Exactly.
Ivory Coast, it was a lot of elephant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the trade of elephant tusk.
Okay.
Was in Ivory Coast. Ghana was the Gold Coast.
Okay.
Which is right next door.
Okay.
Yeah, Ghana was called the Gold Coast because there is a lot of gold. And then when you talk about Central Africa, you got the Congo, you know, where you got all the diamond.
Yeah, blood diamond, Rwanda.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And then, so Cote d'Ivoire, so as you know, you're saying, so Ivory Coast.
It's on the west part.
West part. And then French colonies came in.
Yeah. The French colony was pretty much more in on the west coast, some in central, and in northern. You know, on the northern part of Africa, you got Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria. You know, that was the French there.
So,
and then on the west part, you got Ivory Coast, Senegal, Burkina Faso, Mali, Togo, Benin, you know, so
then in school you were learning French for like what we would learn as like English here in America.
Yeah, actually you will even speak French before you go to school because everybody
around
speak it.
Okay.
So you kind of know how to speak it before you even know how to write and read.
So I'm trying to understand this. When you say like Ivory Coast was, you know, is a term like, was it taken over by French colonies or just occupied by French? Because was it, you're in Ivory Coast and you see French soldiers like on the borders and things like that? Like what does that mean when someone goes, oh, the French colonized, right? They were there and you'd see their military there?
No. They were there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it was like a French protectorate, a French country.
Okay. So a lot of people from France would maybe live there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So vacation homes were there too? People, what's the spot in Ivory Coast that's like Beverly Hills? Was it the capital? Like Abidjan? Like was that like where people would come pay big money to live right in the from maybe France or some other places, they want to live right in Abidjan.
Right. Yeah, Abidjan by the water.
Nice. Yeah.
So.
I remember I went as a, you know, and I met my grandma. And like my memories there were for sure running around I remember running around with my friends. And I remember couscous or whatever I wanted to eat, you know. And I swear it was always like couscous eggs and the chicken. And I remember you know, like seeing the process. Like I remember when the maid cut the chicken head off and then, you know, I was all sad about it. You know, like you're a young kid. I was like kindergarten, but, or 5, 6. And you know, you see that. But then when it was time to eat, I forgot all about my pain. I ate that chicken. But you know, like the process of actually living off the land and knowing where your food comes from, you know, I feel like is big. Cause you know, here we just go to this huge grocery store and we just pray that, you know, there's no whatever virus or stuff on, you know, it's so much mass, you know. So and then when you're able, you're not even conscious, you just go, oh, it's here, it must be good, you know, it looks juicy, it got all the whatever stuff they put to make the fruit look good, you know. So like back home, you knew the growers, you knew who was the farm, like, you know, the person, the farmer in the area at the market, right? So from Ivory Coast, village. I want to know what's our village like, dialect, you know?
Okay. Our mother was Nzima.
Nzima.
Nzima. The Nzima is a tribe that live in Grand Bassam, right outside of Abidjan, right by the water. As a matter of fact, Grand Bassam used to be the first capital of Ivory Coast way back when the French were there full time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grand Bassam, is that?
Grand Bassam.
Grand Bassam.
No, Bassam.
Bassam.
Yeah, okay. B-A-S-S-A-M, Bassam. Bassam.
Yeah, does that mean anything or? It sounds like big, right? Grand or?
Yeah, Grand meaning big, Bassam.
Yeah, Bassam.
Yes.
It was Bassam.
Yeah, Grand Bassam. But
fort, like, okay, big fort. Okay.
Yeah. But Nzima. But the story that was related to me was that he was a French guy that came in an area and he was writing a story.
Okay.
So he was a lady that has a big load that she was trying to put the load on her head. So when the white guy came, he was asking the lady, what is the name of this place?
Yeah.
And the lady was speaking in Zuma. And she was telling the white guy, hey, Bazwame.
Bazwame.
Yeah. Bazwame. It means help me load the thing on my head.
Yeah.
So the guy wrote Basam.
Okay.
And the lady keep making the movement.
Yeah.
Bazwame. Bazwame.
Like lifting.
Yeah.
And he said, grand.
Yeah. And so he helped her put the thing on her head, just like we carry stuff on her head.
Yeah.
And he wrote Basam.
Okay.
And that's how the name.
Yeah, that's the story,
Yeah, came about.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You know. Oh, man. So wait, hold on, I don't want to lose my train of thought. So we got the, can you speak in Zuma?
Yes.
Say some combinations of word of like great healing or great future, just for the people to hear. Maybe like a sense. I mean, like, may you have a great journey ahead.
For example, if you want to say thank you to somebody, okay, you say moho. Yeah, mo. Is like, that's a regular thank you.
Okay.
More. Now, if somebody did something so great for you, you're so touched by the action, and you want to say a big thank you, then you say medawase.
Medawase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Medawase. It means that's the thank you give to God.
Yes.
Like when you want to say thank you to God, you don't give him a small thank you. You give him a big thank you.
Yeah.
So mdawase.
Dawase.
Mdawase.
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 Yes.
So you see, the word by itself is very powerful. When somebody do something very special for you, you will say thank you to the person right when the person do that action. You go home. In the morning, you wake up very early, and you go to the person's house, and you say, medawase.
Medawase.
I thank you for today. I thank you for what you did for me yesterday. And may God keep blessing you.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah, that's good right there. That's good, some juice. So now, let's go from Ivory Coast, and then you first touch into the States. New York, huh?
Right.
So, what brought you to New York? What was your vision or your plan when you first was like going to U.S.? Was it planned, or was it like, oh, the universe just aligned you? You just kind of took a plane one day, like.
Well, you know.
A little closer.
Yeah, America has been always a big attraction all over the world.
Right.
You know, and
is it mostly through Hollywood first? Is because I feel like everyone gets exposed to just some movie kind of version of California or New York, or you know,
yeah, pretty much.
Was there a movie you saw before coming, I don't know, I'm wondering, like Coming to America or certain like movies where you're like, oh, like I want to know, like after I saw this, like
no, but at the time we was growing up, it was all those guys, those Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jordan. And
it was also all those big singers, you know, James Brown, Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett.
Yeah.
What is his name again? I mean, all those big singers, they all went to Africa about
tours, doing their big tours. Yeah,
yeah, doing the big tour. So, and then it was that big show, Soul Train.
Soul Train.
Yeah, where people was dancing, and you see the life, you know. So,
you touched down in New York, right?
Right.
And what was that like? I mean, you first, I know New York, like, you know, all the cars, a billion people, and, you know. You just, was it overwhelming in the first day, or was it like, all right, let's explore, like?
No, not really. You kind of get a feel of a big city, you know?
Yeah. Street everywhere, you know, like all pavement, you know, and this. So I guess, like, I'm like wondering where you go first. Did you go, like, you look for a place to stay? You got food, you know, like. You were like, let me just get a job as soon as I land. Like, what was your mindset like? Because I was just born here, you know? So I'm wondering, when you're from somewhere else and you go take a chance, you know?
I ask these questions so naively because being American raised, I've seen it like many of you, many other of you, the story of coming from another country and thriving, right? And not knowing English as your first language. It's like, what kind of hungry position do I have to throw myself in to be successful? Do you just quit your job and just go for it? But then the thought of not being prepared has you like, I don't know about that. But then being in a position where you don't even think about being prepared or not prepared and just attacking life head on. That might be the formula. Go on, Father.
You're like, where do you start with your chance?
Well, it's such of a long story to talk about it.
Okay.
Now, so
not too deep. All right.
Yeah, we can get on another episode.
Okay. So the Bronx, then. That's where I was born, right? What area did we live in?
It was in the Bronx, Northeast Bronx.
Okay.
Yeah. Right off Bedchester Avenue.
Baychester.
Right.
And that's like near the Yankee Stadium somewhere? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's not near Yankee Stadium. It's near Yonkers Raceway.
Yonkers Raceway.
Yonkers Raceway. It was about like 10 minutes from there.
Yeah, cool. Because, you know, when people ask me, like, oh, yeah, I was born in New York. But, you know, most people, once they follow up, they got to say their street and whatever bodega is there. They go, oh, where, you know, and I just go, I don't remember too much because I was more in North Carolina, you know. But, like, when I was younger, I just didn't.
We was on Derrimer Avenue.
Derrimer, okay.
Yeah, Derrimer Avenue.
Yeah, okay.
It was like a small Italian neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all those Italian deli was right around the corner of your house, you know. So.
Yeah. And then, as we go forward, I want to say, like, a big passion of yours is cars, you know, the way they work or the motor system or just kind of almost like the engineering of it, you know. And you've taught me a lot about cars. I mean, even being younger, when I was in the car seat, you know, you would name off the different cars. And then it was like, even just by the shape, I can tell, oh, that's a Caravan from Dodge, or, you know, it's not the same as, like, you know, like
a Chevy.
An Odyssey, Honda Odyssey, or something. When you look at vans, and then you start to see patterns of how they design things. So what was your first love car, you know, like car that you love when you were, because, you know, as kids, you know, had Hot Wheels and things. Like, so I could tell you my favorite car when I was younger, when I first thought of it, and I'm not thinking about the price of gas or what it burns, any of those other things where it can kind of change your perspective when you start to understand and actually drive, was a Dodge Viper. I was like, man, that sports car looks good. I want that more than a Lamborghini or anything, you know? So what was like the car that you were like, man, I think this is my dream car, before, you know, you knew about cars, before you understood taking them apart? You were like maybe a kid, and was it like the BMW, or when you just thought of, like, before you learned the backbone? Because we, you know, you're a mechanic now, so you know more, and then you go, I know what I want out of a car. But before you knew that, do you remember what car you kind of thought, like, man, that car looks good?
Well, I always been around cars.
Yeah.
So I like them all.
Okay, yeah.
But In Africa, what was really prominent was those Land Rover.
Okay, Land Rovers, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the very first Land Rover. I'm not talking about the Range Rover.
Okay, not the designer ones, but yeah, they yeah. look real boxy.
Yes.
And like heavy terrain, almost like the G-Wagon.
Right.
Before the G-Wagon was fancy, it was like a military car, the background of a G-Wagon. It was,
exactly.
It was sturdy, it wasn't, and then they just redesigned it with the fancy stuff.
It was in aluminum, so okay. it was never rusting.
Okay.
And it was built tough.
Yeah.
At the same time, it was also the Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
Toyota Land Cruiser, it was about the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's though that we go to all those high terrain in Africa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started taking auto mechanic,
mm-hmm.
one of my teacher bought a Land Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
And start working on it from the ground up to upgrade it,
mm-hmm.
so he can drive it from Africa to France. He was a French teacher.
Okay.
Oh yeah. All my high school teacher was French.
Okay. Yeah.
At that time, you know.
Did he succeed?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He succeeded, and so I was like, I said, wow. One day I'm gonna buy one of those cars.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. And then when I start working for Lexus.
Yeah.
I used to service those cars,
mm-hmm.
and I say, man, this car is really built,
wow.
you know, with a high quality.
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy one of those, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I end up buying one.
No, yeah, I love it too. It's crude, like all the little small things that, you know, you don't realize it's doing for you.
Yeah.
And it's at a different level than, even, like you said, well built. I've seen one, like I saw recently where I was saying the guy was driving on the right side. He must have got it from overseas,
mm-hmm.
but it was from, you know, it must have been the 80s, and it's still like, you know, clean, just well done. Yeah, I always, you know, it could be a bias, but I mean, like, when I, you know, like Toyota and Honda, we've had all those for the most part. I mean, with the Altima and things, but for the longer majority, those two brands. And like, I was like, I got in old enough to start driving a car, and I got my first car, the Honda Accord 1988. You know, I was like, it's just the importance of like the maintenance, you know, when you speak. So when you speak to the people about maintaining your cars, you know, you were a mechanic for how long when you, I mean, I know you still work on your car now, but when did you start? What was your first mechanic job?
Well, that was when I was in high school.
Yeah,
when I was in high school.
Okay.
After, I think I probably was on a 10th grade,
mm-hmm.
10th of 11,
mm-hmm.
where when school closed, you go to do like apprenticeship.
Apprenticeship, yeah.
Yeah, with one of those big company.
Got you.
Yeah, so we went to the transportation company,
mm-hmm.
that was doing, and we did an apprenticeship over there. But I have always been around mechanic, like the street mechanic.
Yeah.
We always go there and curious and try to help.
You're passionate about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you did it on other, cause I'm sure you had colleagues that were like, no, I'm not trying to do all that. But you were like, I'm, you know.
No, I did that before I even got to high school.
So you're already ahead of the game.
I knew how to change a flat tire, how
oil.
Yeah.
So what's the advice you give us for people to generally maintain their car as far as like oil change and, you know, like, so for example, oil change, would you say every, like, what's a good habit to practice? Because like, I'll tell you this, like my experience of going to dealerships is always a scary one, you know, because when you know, you don't know a lot. And then when, if I go look, if I open the hood, I can look at it forever. and think I'm doing something, but I don't know what's going on, you know, because there's so many pieces and you have the opportunity to break them apart. Like how, you know, some of us take apart our pens. I take off the spring. I take off this. I put it back together and I feel, yo, I know this pen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you've done that with engines and things. So when you look at it, you can see, and all I see is no screws. Like, I don't know what sound means what. If the starter's going out, click, 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 is that the alternator? Is that the this? Like, and people could tell by sounds, you know, you have that experience. So for someone that has no experience, you know, when you walk in the mechanic shop, it's scary because, like I told you before, I went to one to get my oil change. Everything's good. I come out, my car just turns off. And then you're like, make sure they plugged everything, maybe the air seal. And that's what it was. When you go and I look, it was just the one air seal pipe, or and they just didn't put the hose into the socket. So then my car would idle, which would bring me back. And then, yeah, then they could say, oh, you know, we need to change your radiator. We need to change this, this, that. And then they'll just park my car, put the air seal back on, tell me to come in 6 hours. And then I paid $800 for something that was good, you know. But luckily, since I have you and you've worked on my thing, you were able to tell me and you know, let me know. Oh, I already changed that, and it doesn't need changing for 100,000 miles. I just changed that, you know, a few months ago. So without that, it's like a lot of people can be getting taken advantage of. And I was talking about this in my last episode, where when you go to the hospital or you go to certain places you're supposed to get help, there's that line of moral and all and the sales aspect, you know, and people they walk on that line. Like, you go, I hope this is a good person that wants to help me, but then the person wants to get their sale, you know, like, yeah, let me do this, this is gonna be good for you, like, you're gonna need this. And then you're on that line, like, do I really need it? Are you really looking out for me? Or, you know, like, so it's always such a scary thing when you don't know about something and you have to, like, here I go. As soon as I go in, they're going to look at my car miles is over 200,000, and they're going to offer me everything, the world, you know, to fix. Like, you know, when it's been running smooth and I've been taking care, you know. So I don't know. That thing's scary. So I guess, like, so I don't know anything about cars. What would just be some advice for those? Like, make sure you check your oil every within 3 months is a good time frame to at least change your oil if you're not even a heavy driver. Or would you, like, besides checking it, would you say you have a habit of checking your oil once a week on flat ground? Like, what's, like, some practices for someone that doesn't know that, you know, could help them?
Okay. I would say on a regular basis, I would say probably twice or three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a car that is in age,
mm-hmm,
and in mileage.
Okay.
And the reason being is that you may be driving,
mm-hmm,
something can hit the bottom of the car. You can have a little puncture on your oil pan,
mm-hmm,
and you start leaking oil. So that's why it's good to check. If you can,
mm-hmm,
I would say for young people that got a second-hand car or whatever, in the morning, on the flat ground, before you start, check your oil level.
Okay.
So you know if you burning oil, or maybe you're not burning oil, but you losing oil,
mm-hmm,
because something is not tight properly.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the oil plug gasket.
Yeah.
If it's not tight properly, or it'll you drip. Have the wrong gasket, it's going to start dripping.
Mm-hmm.
But until you check, you're not going to know.
Okay.
So if you take the habit of checking your oil level, that's already a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you went for service, but the person was getting ready to put the dipstick on,
mm-hmm,
and somebody called him. He come back, he may forget. There is a pressure on the day. They say, oh, we got a long line of car. He can forget to put it back on.
Gotcha.
Or he already filled your oil, and he need to put the oil cap on your engine.
Mm-hmm.
It may be on the side, but it was sidetracked and you may forget.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're driving the car, the oil is going to be all over,
yeah,
you know, your hood and all those things. So if you open your hood every day,
yeah,
and check, you will realize right away and take care of it, you know.
Okay.
So car will be just like you. You take care of yourself.
Hygiene.
Yeah, hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So yeah, some words of advice you gave me that I practice. Even so, you know, I'm not an expert, but every time I take my car to the shop and they go, oh, you're good, I pull over in front of the shop, I open the hood, and look at it like I know what I'm doing. Just in front of them, like, I want to make sure I don't see anything. So for those like myself that's not a full expert, check the oil cap, check the oil slide it out, check your level, yeah, before you leave just to make sure. And then ask any questions you need to ask. They might walk up to you and go, oh, is there a problem? You're like, no, just, you know, checking on my car, you know, but that gives you more of the confidence and lets them know they can't get away with anything, you know. It's kind of like leaving the fast food restaurant on the drive-thru. You know, you got to check it before you leave, because sometimes you just drive and trust them, and then, oh, they forgot my sauce and this and that, and then, you know. Another thing I'll just say, we're good on time. We're going to get ready to close out. Another thing I would say is, you know, the maintenance of the car, right? Just vacuuming it and just the morale, because I definitely, two things that make me feel good. When the tank is on F, that's always a good feeling, like just for my morale. I may have chores and things to do for the day. Nothing exciting, but when you see a full tank, you just get...
And so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real. La 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 la.
Burn in hell!
See that pretty girl in the mirror there?
What mirror where?
Look at that attractive girl be.
Oh, which one where?
Such a pretty face, such a pretty face, such a pretty smile, such a pretty face.
You feel good, you know. And then the other thing is when my car is clean too, vacuum. So your theory on gas, when you get to half, fill it back up, right?
Yes, always.
And then the reason so is you could always be in a state of emergency or something could happen, and you want to be able to just have that full tank, not to
it keep you at peace.
Mm-hmm. If you had to just evacuate, maybe you're in Florida, hurricane season or something, you have a reason to go. It's not like, oh, I need to go to gas. Or if you're stuck in traffic for who knows how long in L.A. and you're on E and you're going, oh, I might make it home. And now you're nervous the whole 10 minutes in that hour and a half traffic.
Well, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that you can be in a bad mood just by driving on an E. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah. I'm
because now... You go in some place,
mm-hmm.
Now you see you on an E.
Mm-hmm.
The first gas station you're going to pull out, it's going to be so many people, you're going to be mad that, why those people waiting for this time to go fill up when I need to fill up?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you fill up from the middle up, it's never emergency for you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you're getting close to the middle, boom. You go, usually the gas... station is empty at that point of time.
Mm-hmm.
You only get full when you on an E and you need to get there. Then you start cursing at people.
Yeah.
Why somebody cut in the front
rage,
of you to get there?
I want to leave y'all with this. You're going to pump up your gas no matter what, whether you wait for it to get toward E to do that big fill up, or you constantly fill it up at maybe the 3/4 of a tank or half, no later than half. One, it's just healthier for the morale to drop less to fill it up halfway or from 3/4. And two, we've been there. You're probably looking at your meter right now going, I'm risking it all. And I'm here to tell you, that may be true. And may you make it to your destination. But do me a favor. Fill that up and smile for me. You heard? Let's keep the rage to the side.
All right, Madawase. There we go. Great. Thank you to come in. So with this, we're going to slide into our local to global, you know, just like someplace local I see going global. So I'm going to go with this right here. I came across this brand over the weekend, and I'm very impressed with their thing. So it's called really.soon on Instagram. Brand inspired by minimalist aesthetic designs that fuel creative drive and desire. Soon, designed by soon.com. So this pulled me right away because, as you know, I go by the name Soon Coming, you know, on air. So they got this different merch that say Soon on it, and I like where it's going, the drive to desire creative fuel. So when you take a look at their page, you're just gonna notice again simplicity. Soon, like I can't stress enough, like this is, I'm going to definitely have some gear, so I look forward to working with them. But definitely take a look, get your shop on, and get your desire driven. And then with that, is there anybody you want to shout out? Just like friends doing things that have their own business, any state, anybody? That you, anything come to mind? Or if not anyone doing the business, just someone you just want to, hey, shout out to you.
I want to give a shout out to Patricia, hey. My love partner, to Malaba.
All right, yep.
And to my friend Alden Marshall.
Uh-huh.
To my brother Frank, he's right sitting here.
Yeah.
And to the all extended family. I know it's not too many people that get online to start listening, but
yeah.
A shout out to everyone I know as well.
All right, cool, cool. So yeah, you guys hear that? And then now I'm gonna just do a Depop of the week. So if you don't know, Depop is just an app I use to sell clothes, and like the benefit of it is you're recycling clothes that are already made, so you're not going to getting new printed clothes. Like that's like kind of an environmental listing at the end of the day, besides getting rid of it. So shout out to my cousin Javon, he's the one that taught me the ways. But pretty simple, I was just trying to clear my closet to have more room for clothes that are that have a message driven behind it. I want to wear shirts or things that when people look at it, it starts a conversation, and that's just where my head's at now. So with that, I was like, let me get rid of some old ones. You could definitely, if you don't have the time, the Goodwill, excellent place, you know, drop it off for those. And if you do have the time, you can make a little bit of money, maybe not get your full return. Sometimes I've been blessed to get my full return and then some. So I'm shouting out a page that I see that just has, that looks really good aesthetically. So this page is called Bum Threads. All right. Hand-picked thrifted clothes, free shipping on bundles. So what I like about this page here, black owned page, I could tell right away, but the background is simple. So he always keeps the orange background. He never shows his face, not his full face. You know, you'll catch some lips and below. And I think the thing behind that is like the mystery, and then not putting a face to like your product, you know. So that's just what my guess is. But again, his page has a lot of very potent pieces. So when I'm looking at it, I see things from the 90s, like Spider-Man shirt, great prices, like around the 20s. Some of them are pretty exclusive, and he's keeping it at the $25 average. So definitely give it a check, definitely inspiration. And the key is the theme. So when you're making a Depop, you want to keep a certain theme. So in his case, it's that orange wall and not showing his face. That's his theme. Some he does flat lays, I'm assuming the ones that, you know, he can't fit. And for the most part, you definitely catch a vibe on the page. Great success. You can find my page, Let That Boy Live. So take a look, take a peek, you know, something might be a puzzle piece to your fit life. And also Mine's Still Young, shout out to my little brother's page, he has some one of one pieces, so take a look at that. And then with this, now we're gonna go into a positive statement, you know, to leave the people to have inspiration to get through this week. A lot of them are gonna be catching it on Monday. So what are some, you know, something you want to leave the people, or, you know, maybe an analogy, the story of the teeth and the tongue, or you know, anything that comes to mind to me.
Okay. You can try to wash your right hand by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It will be somewhat clean.
Yeah. So you mean I put the soap on with just one hand and rinse it with just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do the same thing with the left hand. Try to wash it by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It will be also somewhat clean. But it will be really clean when you put your right hand mm-hmm. and your left hand together and try to really wash it.
Yeah.
Then both of them will be very clean.
Mm.
It's just to emphasize the importance of a teamwork.
Okay.
Right hand and left hand get together mm-hmm. for the good of both of them and everyone involved.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, working together, huh? Now the right hand isn't talking smack to the left hand?
No.
You can't do it without me.
Yeah.
You know, because with teamwork always comes difficulty, you know? Yeah. So you go, is your hand trying to be difficult?
Yeah.
No, okay. So, yeah, that's a very important, you know, just being able to be flexible and work with both hands, you know? Because I see with teamwork, there has to be flexibility. Some people try to do it and talk in one voice to everybody. But you have to be able, like we discussed in the beginning, to change your tone for different people to get that message across for everyone to work well together. Because if someone's talking to you a certain way, and that's not how you like to be talked to, you know, it won't inspire you, you know, the way. So sometimes you got to get to their language, even if it's not your language, you know. So you know what I'm talking about. But okay, what I'm going to leave for the people is, you know, remember to smile every day and just, like, at that simple level, because the same way, you know, a full tank of gas makes you happy, you know, if you can find a way to smile or think back to a memory, it can definitely be a good start to your day, you know, and then it could be contagious. And don't be afraid when you smile at someone, they don't smile back, because sometimes a smile scares people. Why are you so happy? what do you want from me? Don't smile like that. So I just want to pass that on. And then, Uncle Frank, is there anything you want to say for the people to get them through the week, just a positive affirmation or something?
Keep smiling. It's the best thing you can do to yourself and somebody else.
Yes, sir. So with that, continue to have a blessed evening, day, start, end, whatever you may be doing. And you've just been tuned. So we're going to slide out to, you know, a tune though. That'll get your head moving. Signing off.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for your undivided attention listening to the show.
Madawase.
Madawase.
Let that boy live.
Two sets to me, take this core, got a skeet real soon, trying to pattern this G. It's been OT nights, bit far from the den, trying to get big checks and the cash flow scheme. A couple boys on the block, when the feds been lapping on locals and socials, man's looking all hot. Tell the youth to stay off the violence and make peace, don't worry about crops. I'm just keeping it real, man, you know my dough, trust me, big words to my pops. In the yard at the ends with the bro scheme, man, you know me, I'm taking champagne shots. Don't talk like you know my ting, when you're around my ting, I send you to the shops. My bro just came uptown with the latest trends and a few odd cops. In a vintage whip, just gliding, stay sliding in a coupe drop top. Hey, baby girl, I got T, no Tetley, wait, tell me why you never come check me. You tell me that I'm way too spendy, wait, babes, I'm just too flexy. I got eyes on my chest, that's Fendi. Get to a high class rave with a glass in my hand and I'm still in a tech fleece. My bro got a key, that's a Bentley. Money come nice, get plenty. Got a fine little baddie in the crew with a face caked up, but you know that's Fenty. Took a snap in the E-class crew, now she tryna ask who's picking up in the Benz. Come off that flex, man, I'm not tryna flirt, man, you know I'm just friendly. These times, man, I might with the lose on the way to a crib, so she know I step pricey. Her old man left like a weirdo, I'm hero, money ain't nothing like me. Can't force my flex out the function, do it nicely, be subtle, man, lightly. Got my game back in like 010, but man, YGs, I'm in love with the 90s. Don't show me no strikes, my bro, man, that's not like me, only step in the Nikes. True say my bro got a check, but I said loud whip, man, just spend that wisely. Don't flex your checks on Snapchat or IG, don't do it on IG. Lie, bro, yeah, don't do it on IG.
Taser to lie.
I've got Air Forces.
Oh, shit! Yeah. Love it. I love people on this thing, you know, like.
Oh, shit! Yeah. I'm not PG.
I can't lie, I haven't listened to this.
I don't want to hear you talking right now. I just want to hear the track, bro. I can't lie to you.